This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 11th day of September 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzolo of Global Commodity Analytics in Lafayette, Indiana. And then we'll hear from University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good. USDA released updated crop production and supply and demand tables this morning. It showed a 13 billion bushel corn crop on a record-setting national average yield. The bean crop is forecast to be 3.25 billion bushels strong. I'll give you a preview right now of Daryl's thoughts. Sell beans across the scale and store the corn if you can. More from Daryl Good later in this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
In Chicago on this USDA report day, futures finished like this. Nearby September wheat up 9 at 441 and 3 quarters, December at 467 and a quarter. 8.5 higher in the March at 487, up 8.5. September Kansas City wheat at 466 and 3 quarters, up 4 and a quarter. September corn futures and nickel higher at 314 and a half. December at 319 and 3 quarters, the settlement price up 4.5 cents. And the March at 333, up 4 and a quarter. May 342 and a half, up 4 and a half. July at 351 and a quarter, up 4 and 3 quarters. Soybeans now, September contract 984 and a half, the only gainer in the pit, up 11 cents. November at $9.03, down 23 and a half. January at $9.10, 23 and a half lower. And the March beans at $9.15 and a half, down 23 and a quarter. May contract $9.16 and a half, 21 and three quarters lower. And July at $9.20 and three quarters, down 21. September bean meal at $3.28, $11 lower. October at $2.80.50, down $9. September oil at $33.36. down 34 cents. October live cattle, 87.22 and a half, unchanged on the afternoon. December at 86.92 and a half, down 22 and a half. September feeders, $99.17 and a half, down 32 and a half cents. The October is 45 cents lower at $99.32 and a half. And the October lean hog futures, 5 cents higher at 52.47 and a half. The December's at 49.82 and a half, down 87 and a half. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures have settled. Nearby October contract at $69.29 a barrel, down $2.65. November at $69.72, down $2.55. October ethanol at $1.59 and 4 cents, just about 2 cents higher. Natural gas at $2.99 and 4 cents, down 26 and 2 cents. The RBOB gasoline at $1.75 and 9 cents, that's down 4 and 4 tenths of a cent. And the heating oil, that's diesel fuel, $1.73 and 2 cents, 5 and 6 tenths lower. Propane contracts now at 97 and 6 tenths of a cent, just about unchanged on the day. The gold at $1,000 at 1,004, that is. And 90 cents, up $9.50, and the Dow at 9,602 is down just about 25 points at this hour. The U.S. dollar at 76.62, down 0.19. The CRB index, currently trading at 251, is down 4.06 on the afternoon. Just about the bottom of the hour, 32 after. We'll take a complete look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural weather. Then we'll talk with Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. Here's a quick look at the forecast for the two-state region, actually for Urbana-Champaign. And it says that we'll have mostly clear skies tonight, a little patchy fog that'll form after midnight. The lows around 59. The wind from the east to the northeast at 4 to 8 miles an hour. Then tomorrow, mostly sunny, high of around 81. The wind from the east to northeast at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tomorrow night, mostly clear, a low of 57. Sunday, mostly sunny, a high of 81. And Sunday night, clear to partly cloudy, a low of around 60.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Friday afternoon. On the line with us this afternoon, Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, what a day. We started out with the USDA reports this morning. They showed an increase in the size of the corn and the soybean crop, and we still managed to put green into the corn today. What happened?
Crying in the morning and jumping up and down in the afternoon, Todd. Nothing like the commodity markets, right? Well, I think the report finally caught in the corn. The wheat was the sleeper. I think if you ever want to know the true definition of a market capitulation, where you've finally thrown in the towel by all the longs over the the last 2 or 3 weeks, I think the wheat market probably showed that today because it went to new contract lows, had absolutely no follow-through selling. We weren't able to make a higher high versus last week in the December wheat futures. We were down 4.5 on the week. But if we can get above last week's close of 471.75 next week sometime, I think that would kind of confirm a market capitulation and a bottom, and I think that would tie in nicely with the September futures expiring on Monday. So I think the corn was able to finally go back and trade the report and get away from beans because the wheat was supportive to it. But I tell you, by itself on the report, I think that corn probably would have been up 15, maybe even limit up today, in my opinion, if it wouldn't have been for the bean market.
And all because of the usage?
I think so. I think the increased demand was another surprise to the trade because we got, 300 million last month, and now we got another 150 million this month. But I think most importantly is that the trade really was in this 1.8 billion bushel carryover camp and price action when we got to yesterday afternoon's close. And when you look at the global numbers now after today, you're talking about 179 million tons of global coarse grains. That's 5% less than last year. So if you look at our carryover here in the United States, you look at the global carryover, you look at the weaker dollar, and you look at the lack of competition by countries like Argentina, which USDA specifically spoke about in their comments today, if the trade was looking at 270 to 280 as downside for Dease corn, which is what a lot of guys talked about, a lot of people talked about at your booth and other booths at the crop show, at the farm show, if you had that before the report and you come in with a much lower carryover and increased demand, I would think that that would start to work on Chicago, thinking that, hey, that's probably 20 cents higher than it was today. It's 20 cents higher than it was yesterday. The only thing we have in our way now is harvest.
Okay, so let me go through the numbers so that we get them in today. USDA now says corn production will nearly be 13 billion. It's actually 12.995 billion. On a record national average yield of 161.9. Soybean production at 3.245 billion, yield there at 42.3. The yield had been 41.7 for the soybeans. Carryout for the coming season, or for the crop that's in the ground right now and will be harvested this fall for next fall, the carryout will be 1.635 billion bushels. That's what we just had a discussion with Mike about for the corn, and then 220 million bushels for the soybeans. And then, Mike, you said everything kind of looked back at the wheat today. It began to rally, and I know that you like it when the wheat rallies because it oftentimes for you means that corn will come along with it, doesn't it?
Yeah, especially with the wheat-corn spread the way it is right now, Todd. We got down to 125 this week, and you start to dip below that 125 level, and wheat really becomes a challenge for the corn feed demand. And you can look at future, USDA reports. If the wheat gets any cheaper to corn, you can't really expect the global wheat or the global corn feed demand to really go up anymore. You've got it topped out probably if you keep that wheat discount and get it dropped below $1.25, working towards $1 a bushel premium to the corn. So I think the wheat really was a big, big instrument to the corn because of the negativity, both technically, and we heard a lot of negative bearish talk about the yields coming out of the Delta. There was a Newswire story that came around the corner right after we made some new lows. In the bean complex went below $9. It reported that we're looking at 15 to 20% better yields in the Delta, upwards of 75 bushels in Mississippi. I think that kind of grabbed the trade. And I think also in the beans, I was surprised because we've seen, between the consultant and me talking about the weather, we've seen more cold weather coming for next week, and it looks like it's going to last longer and longer for the upper Midwest. But when we got the updates from Chicago this afternoon on the weather, the private forecasters were saying 15 days of warm weather, and I think that really kind of got traded very heavily in the bean complex.
Did today's reports and the weather forecast change the way you're looking at the market at all?
No, it didn't. It confirmed the corn side. And I'll tell you what, Todd, this is going to probably sound a little bit crazy, but I'm going to send out a customer survey next week on the beans. I think that September's 42, I matched the USDA at 42.3 on today's report. I believe that the yield is going down right now in beans because we're not getting enough rains and we've got a lot of disease. You and I talked about that last week.
Right.
I think I will go ahead and back down the yield next month in October if we keep this weather pattern. If we get as cold as the models say next week, even if we don't freeze, it's going to really turn the plants on low as far as finishing out. So I think the bean market is probably the most disappointing, the most inefficient right now that we've had probably in 3 months.
All right. Anything else to add before I let you go?
Just have a good weekend, sir.
Hey, you too. Thank you much. Mike Zuzlow is with Global Commodity Analytics. He comes to us each and every Friday afternoon. He's in Lafayette, Indiana. Dave, I'll be back in a moment when we'll talk with Daryl Good.
Support for Illinois Public Media comes from Syngenta, featuring AgriSure 3000 GT hybrids, designed to give you up to 38 bushels more per acre if you have rootworms, and an average of 3 more even if you don't. More information on Syngenta's AgriSure 3000 GT hybrids is at agrisuretraits.com.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. Visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on a Friday afternoon. This is Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. University of Illinois Ag Economist Daryl Good joins us now to talk about this morning's USDA crop production and WASD reports. Good afternoon to you, Daryl. Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure, Todd. Good to be here.
Let's go through the numbers very quickly from the United States Department of Agriculture. A bigger crop, not quite a record crop on production, but they did raise the national corn yield to a record yield. What else was in the numbers you saw of interest today?
Well, I think the yield number, surprisingly, was fairly close to the average trade guess this time. So that number in itself should not be a shock. But on the WASD side, on the consumption side, basically the message is if you produce it, it will get used. USDA does see prospects for larger exports than projected last month and slightly higher feed and residual use. So even though we've got a bigger crop estimate at this point, it really did not raise the ending stocks projection very much because of that increased use and because USDA thinks our beginning stocks will be a little less than previously estimated because of more corn used for ethanol for the year that just ended. So bottom line is, it looks like USDA expects this big crop to get used, but also that it will take slightly lower prices to get that job done. The midpoint of their price projection dropped 15 cents to $3.35, and that's about where the market is right now. So I think the market had this report factored in fairly closely.
USDA changed that beginning stocks number, what was left over from the current marketing year, or the year that old crop, down 25 million bushels based on ethanol usage, and that number actually came from outside of the United States Department of Agriculture. And then the note that you brought up was that they did increase usage on several points. And I thought it was of interest that they increased those same points the last time around,
well,
in the month of August.
They did, and I think for the same reasons. It looks like when we look at world coarse grain production, that forecast dropped fairly sharply this month. Smaller crops in China and smaller crops expected next spring in Brazil, and those smaller crops are getting translated into ideas that the demand for U.S. corn will be stronger. So USDA did bump their export projection 100 million bushels. And on the feed use, keep reminding folks that that's a feed and residual category. And USDA makes the point that as the crop gets bigger, that the residual disappearance gets bigger as well, that there is more harvest loss, more handling loss, and so on as the crop is bigger. So that gets translated into a slightly bigger feed and residual use. We certainly would not expect feed demand to be robust because of declining livestock numbers, and a sharp increase in distillers grain is going to provide a lot of competition for corn. So that number is still at a historically pretty low number, but they did increase it from last month's projection.
So then when we go back and add those together, the increases are fairly substantial, especially for the export market. If I remember correctly, was it 150 in August, the increase? So they're up 250 million bushel now.
Up 250 million bushels, and you know, that's, 350 million more than we exported this past year, but still below the record of 2 years ago. So we certainly have to keep an eye on world production, and southern hemisphere production is really very uncertain at this point because the crops are just approaching the planting season there. So how those crops unfold will certainly affect the demand for U.S. corn, as well as, general economic recovery. We keep harping on that fact that if we do see more sustained, more substantial recovery in the U.S. and world economies, then we might get a little more optimistic about both consumption and price of corn, but we'll have to see how that unfolds.
Do you believe the numbers on the increases?
I mean, they're logical numbers, and so
it'll be tougher for people to believe the feed number, given that they increased it 100 million the last time around and then came back and I think added, 50 million this time around.
Again, you have to buy into the argument that it's really not feed use, that it's handling loss that's really reflected in that number.
And that might be a lot easier for people to take down than feed use, I suppose. Right. With the livestock numbers, there's a lot of argument still about the number of livestock, and I guess the weight's more than the number and how much they're actually going to use. But if you call it just loss in the process,
yeah.
that might be easier to
right.
come up with. Still, we have a number then on the final average season's cash price, which is weighted heavily towards the front end of the marketing year, that dropped 15 cents. If farmers can, I suppose you're suggesting they store it, or is that the case?
Well, I think the market still is suggesting storage. There's enough carry in the market that there will be some basis appreciation to pay for storage. The question is, will the price level add to that basis appreciation or take away from it? And with prices where they are right now, it still says store the crop. The worry you have short-term into next month is that this production number could get bigger. And if it does get bigger, will the USDA really think that we can use all of that increase as well? So we may see a bigger production number, a larger forecast of year-ending stocks, and maybe somewhat lower prices into the heart of harvest. But again, looks like there's prospects for recovery as the marketing year goes on.
What'd you see in the soybean numbers?
Well, again, on the production side, the U.S. average yield at, 42.4, I think, higher than last month's 41.7, came in just about as the market had expected. Gives us a record crop. But again, USDA did bump their projection of both crush and exports. Two things going on there, I think. One is, for the marketing year just ended, it's clear that exports were a little larger than previously forecast, so the USDA bumped their estimate for that year and then carried forward that increase into the current marketing year, thinking that we will maintain exports at record levels. Part of that is a smaller Chinese crop and continued outstanding demand for soybeans from China. But the number does look a little large in the face of USDA's projection of a record South American harvest next spring. They did bump that number quite a bit for Brazil. raising both their projection of acreage and yield, even though the crop is just being planted. But I think prospects certainly are for a much larger South American crop next year. So we have to worry a little bit about export demand during the last half of our marketing year when that South American 2010 harvest becomes available. But again, it's basically the same message there in the USDA report, produce it and it'll get used. But partly because of lower price expectations, that USDA did drop their season's average price projection by 30 cents. So he's saying consumption is coming at a cost. We have to buy that market to some extent.
Yeah, and the marketplace is saying, I guess, something similar, that we have to buy that market, and really says, if you're going to sell beans, and don't wait to do it.
Right. The futures market is about at the level that would translate into a $9.10 average price for the year, as the USDA projects. The difference between soybeans and corn is there's not much of a carry in the soybean market. So storage really does not look very attractive at this point.
Are you a willing seller over the scale on this one then?
You know, I think that's kind of a no-brainer. You say you got to sell the soybeans because there's no carry in the market to pay for storage. The question is, do you sell those soybeans maybe on a basis contract, thinking that futures prices will increase at some point during the marketing year, or equivalent to buying futures contracts to replace cash sales? All the market is saying is, if you really want to own soybeans, storage is not the way to own beans right now, because there's no carry to pay for storage. You either got to let the beans go on a basis contract, let them go and replace them on paper if you want to own them.
It seems much harder for farmers to let soybeans go at harvest. I don't know exactly why, but this is the year that if they can, they just need to let them go. I guess it's mostly because they can go into the teens, or they can rally so much.
Right.
It seems like such a deal, but it really is time to store the corn, and if you can, and sell the beans.
Sell the beans, but again, if you think there's opportunity for prices to go higher, then you can do that through selling those on a basis contract, or replacing those sales with futures or options as a way to maintain a long position. All the market is saying is, if you want to be long, storage is really not the most economical way to do that.
More to come when we get the next crop production and WASDE numbers. It should be fun. And gosh, we might have a frost or a freeze in between, huh?
Yeah, that's correct. We don't even want to go there at this point.
All right. Thank you very much, Daryl.
Okay.
Daryl Good from the University of Illinois. He's an ag economist. I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. Back in 2 minutes when we'll talk with Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
This is Illinois Public Media.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. It's a good day for the families of dozens of East Central Illinois members of the National Guard who are home from Afghanistan. A dismissal ceremony at Champaign's Parkland College this afternoon was preceded by a parade of police and fire trucks escorting buses carrying members of the 33rd Infantry Brigade Combat Team. They've wrapped up a one-year tour of duty. More troops from the same brigade are scheduled to come home to the Champaign-Urbana area Monday evening. Ceremonies today were also to be held in Sullivan and Mattoon. Quieter ceremonies took place this morning as the area remembered the 8th anniversary of the September 11th attacks. Firefighters in Champaign paid tribute to emergency workers and other 9/11 victims at Westside Park, with about 50 people looking on. An hour earlier, a chorus on the U of I campus sang at the moment of the attacks 8 years ago, in an annual ceremony that features music instead of the spoken word. Governor Pat Quinn says a major priority of the upcoming fall veto session is to get lawmakers to fully fund higher education grants for needy Illinois students. Lawmakers are also being urged by university and community college administrators to extend funding for the Monetary Award Program, or MAP, into the spring semester. It's currently not funded for the second half of the school year, forcing some students to worry about their ability to continue their schooling. The governor told reporters in Urbana that he sides with the higher education leaders. Governor Mitch Daniels says his trade mission to China and Japan is necessary to attract business to Indiana, and he's shrugging off criticism from Democratic House Speaker Pat Bauer. Bauer says Daniels is visiting jobs that have left the state. Daniels has fired back that Indiana would have few jobs left if it followed Bauer's policies. Giving food or water to feral cats that have not been spayed or neutered is now illegal in Terre Haute. The new ordinance also increases the city license fee for an unsterilized cat or dog to $100, up from $25. Licenses for pets that have been spayed or neutered will cost $5. City Councilman Neil Garrison says the goal of the new ordinance is to reduce the feral cat population in the city. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is the Closing Market Report. It's a Friday afternoon. On the line with us today to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast is Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. It belongs to NOAA, and they're located right here on this campus. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Weather for the weekend looks like it should be pretty nice.
Yeah, we're not going to see a lot of day-to-day change here in Illinois or Indiana for the next few days to maybe a week, almost a week. Temperatures have been slowly climbing during this week. I know, let's see, we got low 80s in many areas yesterday. But it's not going to change a whole lot. We're sort of in a stagnant weather pattern. The only sort of fly in the ointment is a upper-level low down along the Gulf Coast, which is going to pull northward a little bit. But I don't think that looks like it's going to affect us very much until maybe later in the week when eastern Illinois and maybe some of Indiana has a better chance for some rain. But until that time, it looks like more of the same of what we had, generally warm and maybe a little bit increasingly humid days, but overnight be down. Temperatures be down in the 50s and low 60s.
It seems downright odd for this season so far. No wet weather really, and kind of sunny skies. What do you see further out?
Again, not a lot of change. Yesterday, it looked like we might get a pretty good shot of cold air next weekend, more reminiscent of what we had in August at times, but the latest GFS run seems to be backing off on that a little bit. And right now, things look pretty tranquil. Until next weekend, again, we might see a little bit more better chances for rain in southern Illinois and much of Indiana as this upper-level disturbance pulls north. But I think, in general, we aren't going to see anything that's going to be much of a problem over the next week to 10 days. So it's a pretty nice fall weather. And with the sunshine that we have, that should help dry up, keep the crops moving along. We're still not picking up any growing degree days, but we're not really losing a whole lot at this point either.
Yeah, how far behind are we here in this part of the world?
Oh, we're still pretty far behind. We're not going to catch up from what we had earlier, generally we fall a little bit further behind in the south because of the cool weather we've had recently. So we're running here across central Illinois and Indiana about 200 to 300 growing degree days behind, and there's add another 50 or more to that north, and they're further behind, and probably only about 100 behind in the far south. But the zero line is well south of the Ohio River anymore.
Have you projected out the difference between the growing degree days and the average freeze frost dates?
No, we probably right now it looks like we're not going to see any chances for a freeze here in the foreseeable future, so that's the good thing.
Right.
How many more degree days we're going to pick up between the average frost date, I'd have to check on that. I don't have that at the tip of my fingers right now, but we can certainly talk about that next week.
Okay, why don't you do that, and we'll talk with you again next week then.
All right, Todd.
All right, thanks much,
okay.
Steve.
Bye-bye.
Steve Hilberg is the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center and joined us here on the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. Be sure to visit our website at willag.org. We will post Commodity Week. It's our weekly look at the marketplace there by about 6 o'clock this evening. Our guest will be Joe Persaki from NASS. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.